bring him in now. Hall of Famer, Willie Rofe. Willie, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for joining us. So let me ask you this.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Let me ask you this. Looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is a team, you know, obviously 11-3, but coming off a very tough loss to the San Diego, not the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers. And so I look at this football team, and I see a prolific offense, but I see a questionable defense. Will that defense, in your mind, hold this football team back come playoff time?
Well, I think it's very important for them to get home field throughout the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch and if they can get home field back throughout the playoffs. That's going to be very important for them to be able to do it. So, you know, I think the defense is playing better. They just got Eric Berry back, who I think, you know, he's just going to have to get his feet wet. I do think some of those young kids are playing a little better. 55, the defensive end, Houston's playing okay. Drew, the other defensive end, is having a good year this year finally. So it's going to be tough. But the secondary has got to play better. And some of those calls were iffy. You know, they could have called that one either, on schedule. They could have called that either way, I thought.
Right. And I also thought that call in the end zone was a little iffy as well on that last drive. I thought that was iffy. I think that was a no call in that situation.
And I was at that game, so, you know, that was Tony Gonzalez went in the Ring of Honor, so that was a good night for him, but it would have been better if we got the win.
So, do you have concerns, hypothetically speaking, this team doesn't get home field advantage, but ultimately, if they win the next two, they get home field advantage. But if they don't, are you concerned about their ability to get to the Super Bowl and beat a team like a Patriot? Well, not the Patriots at this point who have slipped, but any of the elite teams in the AFC on the road?
I would have had more confidence with Hunt back there. I think the loss of Hunt is going to be going to hurt them more than it's shown. I mean, Hunt could get out the backfield, and he took the pressure off them because he could run and catch it out the backfield. And he was so versatile, and he really helped spread that offense open for those other guys. So I think not having Hunt back there is going to hurt them moving forward. And now, can they get past that? We'll see. I don't know how far they can go now that Hunt's gone. I think that was that. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl, all-pro type of running back, so – When you lose somebody like that, it's going to hurt.
And that's a very difficult situation. I mean, the Chiefs on some level had to react in the way they did, but it's a tough situation because he brought a lot to the table and brought a lot to that offense. So we look at this football team, 11-3, again, offense prolific, defense a little iffy. But I look at this football team, and I look at their coach, Andy Reid. And I have to ask this question to you. Looking at Andy Reid, looking at his track record, he's gotten close a lot, but in big moments and big spots, he has come up short. Do you have any concerns about Andy Reid come playoff time?
I wouldn't say I have concerns. I know that that's been a question for him over time, but I wouldn't say I have those concerns right now. I just it's just the situation the team's in right now. Losing Hunt this late in the season is putting them in a real tough bind. So I'm not going to question Coach Reed yet because I want to see this kid play in the playoffs. I want to see how this team responds. I think they're in a tough situation. I think they need a versatile back. Not Le'Veon, but a type, maybe the back from Oklahoma State coming out that can catch it, run it, you know, you can mix it up, you know, a Ronnie Harmon, a Marshall Faulk type of back to help spread that offense. Because now it's all about spreading offense, and they need another back that can do that. Maybe a little more getting out on the edge, a little different than Kareem Hunt. But right now they're in a tough situation, and you have to be able to run the ball, especially in those type of games when they're tight like that, Paul. You have to be able to run the ball, eat the clock, and control the pace late in those games. And they haven't shown consistently being able to run the ball. Now, when Hunt gets in there, he makes stuff happen, but they've got to be able to establish a run and get after guys up front and establish the run, especially in the playoffs. That's going to be very important. So them not being able to establish a running game is going to hurt, and we saw what happened to the Saints. I mean, they couldn't run the ball. The Chiefs only had 50 yards running the ball against the Chargers, and that little back for the Chargers was doing a lot of damage. The backup running back for the Chargers, I forget that kid, number 32, had an excellent game catching it, running it. He was getting after them and making plays. Same thing happened when I was at the Saints versus Tampa game. First half, they couldn't run the ball. Second half, they ran the ball. Mark Ingram had that big one in the second half and got going in the second half. First half, they were stymied, and that slowed down the offense. And the Saints offense has been struggling some of late, but you have to be able to establish a run to set up everything.
For sure, we're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. So, all in all, looking back at Kareem Hunt for a second, do you think he gets another opportunity?
Yes. He's a young football player. This is his first time getting in trouble. He's only, 23, 24 years old. Yeah, he led the league in rushing his rookie year. He was having another All-Pro Bowl year this year. He's going to get another chance to play, and I want to see the kid mature from it. I also see that there was more incidents involved. Him getting in the fight right after that playoff game was very dumb. I wish that they had, kind of like Aaron Hernandez, saw some of them other incidents that happened, and he had already got reprimanded on them. And maybe that incident doesn't happen after that Pro Bowl, because he got in an incident where they beat up a guy right there after the playoff game they lost, and somebody either he broke his ribs or some stuff happened. He had another incident that happened at the in June at a casino. So I wish the kid had gotten reprimanded. But obviously he's been dealing with some issues and thinking he, feeling himself and thinking he can get away with some of this stuff. And that's the wrong attitude to have in this day and age with everybody with these phones. And you don't need to be getting mad and getting violent with people. We saw what happened with the Washington Redskins defensive back that got into it with a guy in the parking lot, and he suspended for the next game or two, and that's going to hurt them trying to make the playoffs. So, Paul, these kids got to understand, these young men got to understand, you have to conduct yourself and carry yourself in a certain way. You can't get out here and just be acting like it's the Wild Wild West.
Sure, and it's an unfortunate thing. He's a young kid, and 23 years old, and I hope the kid can get another chance. I mean, we look at Ray Rice, when it happened to him, Ray Rice, didn't have, at that point in his career, wasn't the same player. So I think because of Kareem Hunt's talent and because of his age, he will most definitely get another chance. I don't know if it will be next year, but he's going to get another chance. It's just a matter of
who. Yeah, but Paul, he messed up a big payday. If that
he
kid
did.
Had played another year like this, this kid looking at, 15, 14 million a year, 30, 40 million guaranteed. Now he's going to have to start back over for a minimum contract somewhere. You see they picked up Reuben Foster, so he's still on his rookie deal, so he still is making that million a year from the first round pick deal. But Kareem Hunt's going to have to start over, and if I'm him, I'm signing a 2 or 3 year deal, a short deal, or a 1 year deal, and he needs a PR team, Paul, be out in the community doing charity stuff. He needs to be doing everything he can to show that he's changed and going to some girls, giving some money to some groups. They should have him on. I know he's in the anger management right now. He's doing something to clean himself up, but he needs to be on a PR campaign next year.
For sure. Big time. And again, because of his age, I just hope the kid gets another opportunity because he is young. And people should be given another opportunity to change. And hopefully he can take advantage, if he does get an opportunity, of that second chance. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. So you were there in Kansas City Tony Gonzalez goes into the Ring of Honor. Talk about playing with Tony Gonzalez. You were a teammate of his.
A pro's pro. It's a few guys that you get a chance to be around like that. Tony was one of those guys that came to work every day, never missed a lot. He brought it every week. You know, he came out there and played hard every week. I don't remember Tony even missing that many games, practices, anything. You know, a good guy in the locker room. Guys liked him. So, you know, it was a lot of fun to play with him and be around him. And for him, you know, probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer this year. You know, he has a wonderful family. His mother, his grandmother were there, 100 years old. You know, his wife, October, who he's been with, he has, you know, three or four kids now. So, you know, Tony's really doing a great job with Fox now and lives in California. You know, L.A. boy was a heck of an athlete, real good basketball player, too. He played basketball at Cal, too, if you remember. He was a real good basketball player.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, but he's a good guy, you know, a good person, and he got choked up. You know, I don't think he ever wanted to leave Kansas City, and, you know, I just respect what he did. You know, he didn't have a dad in his life growing up. His mama took care of those boys, and, Tony, he pushed himself, and then, like I said, he was a special athlete, but it's going to be special to see him at the Hall this next year, to see him walk across that stage.
For sure. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. So another one of your teams, your former teams, New Orleans Saints get a big victory against the Panthers the other night, 12-9. I'm looking at this offense and kind of like the Chiefs on some level. To me, the Saints need home field advantage if they want to make it to the playoffs. They're just night and day. I mean, at home, they're a totally different team than they are on the road. But I think they need home field advantage if they want to get to the Super Bowl.
Who's competing with them right now? Right now they have it, right? Because they're on the tiebreak over the Rams.
Yeah, at this point they have it. And if they win out, they're fine. So they control their own destiny.
You know, I've been a little – the offense has not been doing as well lately. Drew Brees, they've been getting at them some. He's been throwing some picks. If you look at the stats, Paul, the last three games, he's thrown some tough interceptions that hurt him. I think he will get back in stride. And, you know, they've been, like I said, you know, you got to get to him. You got to get pressure on him up the middle. And teams have been getting to him more. But, again, they're missing Tuan Armstead a lot. And he is athletic, a left tackle he is, and getting out on the edge and being able to do stuff. They need Tuan to get back as soon as possible. He's going to help open up that offense. And somebody's got to step up at the receiver position to take the pressure off Michael Thomas. They got a guy underneath and over the top of him now. So they're bracketing Thomas. Somebody's got to get out there and make some plays. Ben Watson, some of these other young receivers. You saw they let Brandon go the other week. You know, and Dez Bryant was obviously toward the Achilles, but Brandon Marshall's gone. So somebody's got to step up their receiver. Because they're bracketing Michael Thomas. They're not going to let him just beat you. I know they have the other young tight end. But, again, Tuan Armstead is really needed back in that system. And they're going to have to, again, establish the run, get Kamara out in space, and let him do stuff and open that offense back up.
And you talked about Drew Brees in the last three games. It has been a struggle. I mean, you know, three interceptions – to only two touchdowns in the last three games. Fortunately for the Saints, they're 2-1 in those last three games. But you also look at it, those last three games were on the road at Dallas, at Tampa, and at Carolina. So that tells me all I need to know, because weeks before that, they had two straight games at home where he had four touchdowns against Philadelphia and four touchdowns against the Falcons. So, 8 touchdowns in those two home games, he goes on the road, and then he only has 2 touchdowns in 3 games, including 3 interceptions. So, to me, That tells me all I need to know about Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints.
Well, and the last time the Saints made it to the Super Bowl, they had home. The last time the Saints made it to the Super Bowl, Paul, they had home field throughout the playoffs in 09. And if you look at New England, they've gone to the Super Bowl and won it when they had home field throughout the playoffs. So it's key to get home field for these teams. And I think that's what's going to hurt Kansas City. Can they travel on the road, and are they going to step up defensively? I know Mahomes is going to make plays, but is it going to be enough? And Mahomes is a gunslinger, and he's young. So hopefully he's learned from these regular season games, because he's played some tough games this year going into the playoffs. But he's a gunslinger, and he's going to take some chances. So, like I said, it's going to be fun to watch these playoffs. A lot of people were thinking the Saints versus the Chiefs, well, maybe. I don't think both teams will make it to the Super Bowl. One of them could, and if I had to say which one I think is going to make it, I would be leaning toward the Saints.
So let me ask you this. Hypothetically speaking, Saints, Chiefs in the Super Bowl, who would you root for? I mean, how would you handle that?
I would have to be neutral. I'd have to be neutral, you know, and not root for either one. It'd be fun to watch, but at this point, I would just have to be neutral, and I wouldn't pick a side. But I think that both teams in the next few years, you'll be seeing them in the Super Bowls, especially Kansas City with their young quarterback and that young nucleus. I think Kansas City is going to be knocking on the door here a lot here in the future.
What is Patrick Mahomes' ceiling? I mean, the kid is putting up some tremendous numbers this season. The kid is playing some big-time football. You know, I heard Dick Vermeil say the kid can make any throw from any angle. I mean, he's just an amazing player. I mean, he can move. His arm is incredible. He just has tremendous ability. What is his ceiling to you?
I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think he even knows what the ceiling is now. I think the kid is just a great athlete, improvising, and he's just not learning how to play the position. I don't think he's near the potential of his ceiling yet. I think the kid's still learning how to play football, Paul. I really do. I think this kid is just not learning how to play. This is his first year as a starter. He started one game last year. This kid is his first year playing in the NFL. Right now, he's improvising. When he learns how to, and the game really slows down on him, watch out. It's going to be scary. And if he keeps the weapons around him and they build on it. So I don't think this kid's even tapped the surface. Him doing the no-look pass and some of the stuff he's doing that you haven't seen before, that pass he threw against Baltimore on that 4th-and-19 or whatever, the one to Tyreek Hill, I mean, the game he played against Denver earlier this year when he made a few plays and beat them, I mean, this kid is special. He's got some special ability. And this kid's really a baseball player. This kid's got a baseball arm, and he can fling it from anywhere, a la John Elway, baseball player. A lot of these great quarterbacks were excellent baseball players, pitchers, and that's what this kid is. His daddy was a reliever and played in the majors. So this kid has pitcher-type arm strength throwing the football the way he does. So, I mean, you don't have him come along like that all the time.
So let me ask you this. You talked about the no-look pass. You know, we've seen some left-handed throws with this guy. I mean, you're seeing some incredible things from Patrick Mahomes. But we talk about his youth. I mean, he's a young player. His first year starting, you know, 23 years old. Will you play a part in the playoffs? Will we see a young quarterback in the playoffs, or will we see a guy who is ready for the moment? I mean, because it's always possible. I mean, first year starter, stuff happens. Sometimes the moment is too
big. You know what? I think he's being battle tested right now, Paul. He got battle tested in the Rams. He threw out them picks. He's been playing. The Chargers tough. Denver's tough. I mean, he's playing some tough teams. So I think he's going to be battle-tested come playoff time. And, Paul, you got to look at it. The kid's about to throw for probably 50 touchdowns. How many quarterbacks, Paul, have done that? two? I think Peyton's done it, and with Drew's done it, maybe. Who? How many quarterbacks have thrown for 50 touchdowns in a season? And he's about to throw for 5,000 yards. So he's already doing stuff that's in rare company in his first year as a starter. So I think he's being battle tested right now. I just think it takes some time, but he's already shown you his potential and how good he can be. But the kid's already thrown for 40 some touchdowns and going about to throw for 5,000 yards this year in his first year as a starter. And anytime you throw for 50 touchdowns, my goodness. I mean, and we had a prolific offense in Kansas City, and I know he's about to break Trent Green's. If not, if you look that up, Paul, I think Trent had the record for passing yardage in the season, and it was 4,600. But this kid, I don't know. When you count him out, it's going to be hard to count him out. Like I said, that gunslinger mentality, that's got to catch up with him at some point, and maybe it catches up with him in the playoffs. It's going to be tough going on the road in some tough environments. That line's going to play well, and that defense is going to travel and play well. So it's going to be other factors involved with how well he plays. But I think he's learning, he's getting battle tested right now. And you remember last year, Paul, I said they need to bring Alex Smith back for one more year and let that kid sit the way Alex was playing. And was I wrong about that? That kid was ready to play, and they knew the kid was ready to play by what they've been watching in practice his rookie year.
So you're talking about the Chiefs record for yardage. He's about 40-some-odd yards behind Trent Green for the record.
What year was that for Trent? What year was that for Trent?
2004.
Yep, 2004.
So
yep.
Patrick Mahomes will break that record. And in terms of 50 touchdowns, two guys. Peyton Manning, 55 in 2013. Tom Brady, 50.
Tom Brady.
In 2007. So two guys have done it. And, you know, the way Patrick Mahomes has played throughout the season, I mean, he's at 45 touchdowns. You expect him to get to 50, before the season is all finished. So we'll see. I mean, the kid is having a tremendous year. He's an amazing player, an amazing talent. And I want to say this. We look at Andy Reid. You know, he's been criticized over the years, but let's look at the quarterbacks he's drafted. I mean, McNabb. Nick Foles, who is a Super Bowl champion. Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the guy, he's got to get some credit in terms of recognizing quarterback talent. I mean, look at, he resurrected Michael Vick.
Not just drafting, developing quarterback talent, Paul.
Right. Because he's turned Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he recognized the talent, and he's turning Patrick Mahomes into an elite quarterback. I mean, he's got to get credit there for
And you know what happened with Patrick Mahomes, Paul? Nobody was talking about Patrick Mahomes because everybody was talking about Johnny Football. So that's when remember him and Johnny Manziel had that game, him and Baker Mayfield had that game, with all the touchdowns and 1,000 yards passing and all this stuff. So him and Baker, so nobody saw this kid as much because he went to Texas Tech, and I never thought this kid was going to be as good, like this quick as good as he is now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he's got a tremendous amount of talent. And I think a lot of people saw that this kid was going to be a solid player, a good player, but I don't think anybody saw this so soon. I mean, this is quick. I mean, it's amazing. And he's doing it well, man. He's playing some big-time football right now. And if all goes right and they get that home field advantage, they can go to the Super Bowl. Because
have to do to get home field? Who are they tied right now with the Los Angeles Chargers?
The best
record?
They're tied with the Chargers, but they hold the tiebreaker. So the reality is they got to win out. And if they win out, they got home field advantage.
Who the Saints last two games? Who the Chiefs last couple games?
Chiefs have Seattle, which is not going to be an easy one. I mean, at Seattle, but I think it's a game they most definitely can win. I mean, and I think, like you said, they got to get home field advantage, and then they have the Raiders at home. So those are two
games. I think
games.
That's a win. I think that's,
yeah,
a win. The Raiders
win.
Game is a win.
That's definitely a win. The Chiefs, the Seahawks game, it's going to be a tough one. Seattle's playing for their playoff lives at this point. So they're battling for the playoffs. So that's going to be a tough one. But I think it's a game they should win. And then they have the Saints, they have the Steelers and Panthers, both at the Dome.
The Steelers game will be tough. The Panthers will be easier because what's called is not playing. Cam's not playing. I don't think Cam should have been playing for a while. I think he's been hurt. I think they played him and didn't. He found out he wasn't going to the Pro Bowl, and he shut it down. But Steelers game is going to be a tough game. They're a tough out. So I think the Saints have a better chance. That's at home to get in the home field than the Chiefs do. But we'll see.
We'll see.
The Saints have a better chance of winning out.
I would agree. Well, yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you got that Seattle game, which is going to be tough. But I think Kansas City should win it. I think they're the better football team. But, again, that defense has to give you something. They got to give you something. And if they don't, could be tough. But if the Chiefs and the Saints, and we're weeks away from that, but if they were to get into the Super Bowl, we might have a Rams type of game where we got like 50 points on each side. I mean, those two prolific offenses can put up some serious points. We might have that type of situation if they do get to the Super
Bowl. And I think a lot more fans will want to see that than what we saw last night, that 12 versus 9 score. The people want to see points. A lot of people were raving early this year that Rams game when they were scoring 50-some points. Everybody was talking about that might have been the best game they'd ever seen, and that was nothing but high-action shootout football.
See, I looked at that game, and I looked at the opposite. It was like arena football. It was just too much scoring.
But a lot of people loved it. A lot of people love that, Paul.
They do. We're talking the Hall of Famer, Willie Rowe. So let me ask you this. The Philadelphia Eagles, I want to get your take on this. Nick Foles came in for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz right now out with a back injury. Nick Foles came in, went into Los Angeles, and beat the Rams. An impressive performance by Nick. He was solid. The team was solid. They got the victory. And right now, the Eagles are in contention for the playoffs. They need the Vikings to lose at least once, and the Philadelphia needs to win their next two, which is possible, but the Texans are going to be tough this weekend for Philadelphia. But looking at that team, looking at the situation with Foles and Wentz, it is my opinion that if Nick Foles wins next week or this week against the Texans and then wins the following week against the Redskins and they make the playoffs, I think you go with the hot hand of Nick Foles and you just let him ride it out. At this point, Carson Wentz possibly could come back, possibly, but who knows? But as far as I'm concerned, Nick Foles, if he wins this week, he won last week in Los Angeles. If he wins this week against the Texans, wins the following week against the Redskins, it is in my opinion that the guy should continue on if they make the playoffs. No matter what Wentz is doing or no matter how healthy Wentz is, I think you guys would go with Nick Foles moving forward this season. And at the end of the day, he's going to be going next year, and it's going to be ultimately Wentz's team. But if Foles continues on and keeps on winning, do you feel like this guy should play in the playoffs if that were to happen?
Yes, I agree with you also. And also, I have a question. How long has Wentz had the stress factor in his back? I think Wentz should have been shut down a few weeks ago. I don't think that stress factor just started. I think it's gotten worse. It's like a stress fracture in your foot. You can't run on it. The only thing you can do with a stress fracture is rest. So if he's got a stress fracture in his back, he should have been resting. And maybe they would have been more competitive in some of those games. But, you know, they keep you out there, like Cam this year. The guy was hurt. He should have been set down. Wentz, if he's got a stress fracture in his back, he should have been shut down probably a couple weeks ago.
And he first appeared on the injury report back in October in terms of his back and everything. So, and it was also, you know, he also dealt with a stress fracture in his back in college. So, in his college days. So, it's an interesting situation.
Well, this isn't good, Paul, long-term locking him into one of them big contracts. If he's dealing with these stress fractures in his back, I'm going to lock him up for 3 years. I don't know if I'm going to give him a five-year deal, one of these five-year, $150 million contracts with 100 guarantee with dealing with that type of issue. If you're telling me he dealt with this in college, that sends a little alarm to me with that type of situation. In fact, I might just let him play it out and then franchise him a couple years for one-year deals and see what happens before I lock him up to a long-term contract.
I think I'm still locking him up. I'm still giving him his money. I mean, I think, you know, obviously the back, it is obviously concerning. Obviously, he tore his ACL last year, which is also concerning. But I think this guy's a gamer. I think he's a baller. I think he's big time. And I think, you know, he's a franchise
quarterback. Well,
he's going to
change the way. He's not going to be able to run the ball and dive and do all that stuff, Paul. He's going to change the way he plays.
For sure. He's definitely going to have to alter his game a little bit. I don't know, you know, some guys aren't necessarily capable of doing that. For example, we have Mike Vick. Michael Vick was never capable. It was just in his DNA to be a guy who was reckless on some level. It was in his DNA to just take on big guys, take on big hits. It just was his nature. And I'm not so sure Wentz doesn't have that same type of nature, that type of nature where you just go at it. And no matter what's in front of you, no matter who's in front of you, you try to take it on. Could be a gift, could be a curse. But I think Wentz might be cut from that cloth.
Well, we'll see what happens. And moving forward, I just want to have a good, healthy career, you know, not be in and out the lineup. So he's going to have to do something to stay healthy because he's been, like I said, they won the Super Bowl with him last year, and now he's out the lineup again. So I know it's his first year coming off that ACL surgery also, but they got to figure out ways to keep him protected.
So it's the holiday season. You're doing big things, with Frame Your Game. What you got going on there?
Man, we're just trying to get stuff going and want the fans to go check out the website, frameyourgame.com, or go on Fanatics and look at the products we have for sale right now. Also, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and looking forward to the big fight, the Charlo. I love the Charlo brothers. I know they're fighting this weekend. I think they're not on ESPN, Paul. So on Showtime, for any fans that haven't gotten a chance to watch, you need to watch these kids, these Charlo brothers. They're both special. They're both fighting on the card, so want the fans to watch boxing. Check out those Charlo brothers, and I'll be at home watching boxing, hanging out with the family. Kids are doing well in school. My daughters, both of them mostly got A's, so we'll be at home relaxing for the holidays, and want to miss you and your family. Merry Christmas also, and
likewise.
Everybody else, have a good Christmas and everybody be safe.
I will be in the building, actually. I will be in Brooklyn that night watching.
Oh, man.
We'll be there. So.
Well, I'm a little jealous then.
It should be good times. So, look, before we get out of here, we know you're a big boxing guy. Wilder Fury, you know, controversial to some. To others, it was the right decision. Some believe that Wilder won. Most believe that Fury won. Some are okay with the draw. Me personally, I'm okay with the draw. Just watching the fight again, I could see five rounds for Wilder, you know, including those two knockdowns. I'm okay with the draw. You know, I can live with the draw. I just want to say it again.
I'm okay with the draw, Paul, but I really think Wilder needs to get a new trainer. I think he needs to work on his boxing skills better. I know he's a hell of a puncher. He's got that right. But he just fights wild and reckless. before that fight, I thought he was fighting better against Ortiz and those guys. Fury's a boxer, man. Fury surprised me. I didn't think, watching Fury fight the fight before that, I didn't think Fury was going to have a chance against him. But Fury got in the best shape of his life. He had that young trainer he had, and he went up there and went up there with Freddie Roach, and Freddie was watching and helping during the camp. And you could see how good a shape Fury was in and the way he was moving and bobbing the whole time and his style. You could see where Freddie Roach had been helping him get ready for the fight. I think Deontay Wilder is special, but he's got to get trained, and he's got to get somebody that trains him and teaches him new stuff that he doesn't know to take him to the next level. Because if he doesn't, it's going to catch up with him sooner or later. And Anthony Joshua was studying him and watching him. And you know they're going to fight him eventually, maybe 2019. But any flaw you got, which he does have flaws, and when he catches that jab and he's punching wild, I'm going to try to frustrate him. So I would like to see him. This is my opinion. I think he needs some help and somebody to help train him on his fundamentals better. What's your thought on that, Paul?
I look at Deontay Wilder, and I don't think just watching him fight, I just don't think – he's just one of those guys that will never be technically sound. He's always going – he's going to be slightly wild. It's just his nature. I think it's just who he is. I don't think he'll change.
But Paul, if he doesn't have the two knockdowns and he doesn't have the knockdown in the 12th round, he loses that fight. So if he doesn't have those two big knockdowns and almost knock him out in the 12th, he loses the fight.
But I think
so
you can say the same
honestly, this is my point. Whatever he was doing wasn't working. He loses that fight. So he's got to change his mind. He can't just look for the big shot. He's sitting down looking for the big shot. He's got a box on him. So this guy isn't going to let him land those big shots. Yeah, he caught him later. So what's Wilder's thing is Mike Tyson. I'm gonna try to knock you out. Mike Tyson knocked people out until he met up with a boxer and somebody he could have knocked out, and then he bit him on the ear. So he's got to work on some type of fundamentals, or he's gonna get outscored boxing against a guy like Fury, who shouldn't be in the ring with him, but he's outboxing him the whole time. So without that 12th. He loses that fight and his belts.
I just feel like this is the Wilder you're gonna get. I mean, he was outboxed against Luis Ortiz before he stopped him. I mean, he's a kid. As far as I'm concerned, he's shown he could take a punch. I mean, he took a punch against Ortiz, took Fury stuff. He could take a punch. The kid is tough. The kid is clutch. I mean, you saw it against Ortiz. You saw it against Fury, for that matter. He doesn't get that knockdown in the 12th, he loses.
Okay, but boxing isn't about taking punches. Boxing is about not taking punches like Mayweather and winning fights and catching guys. He's got to work on his technique. As he matures and gets older, I understand what you're saying, but he fights wild. He's got to work on his technique. If you know, because I'm telling you, these guys are studying him, and they're gonna come after him. I'm just telling you, if he doesn't have better technique and he can't knock a guy out or catch him later, he's gonna have some problems.
I mean, I would agree, but fortunately for him, he has that equalizer, and that equalizer is his power. And this guy's a gamer. He's big time, man. And I think if he fights Fury again, when he fights Fury again, he's going to stop him. Because I think he's going to learn some of the things that he did wrong, look back at some of the things he did wrong. And I think he's going to stop Fury the next time around.
But you don't think him going and learn from some good trainer was going to help him in his career? You don't think he needs to go and get some help?
I mean, I think he could possibly make that argument, but I don't think it's going to do much. I don't think it's going to really make much of a difference. I think the kid...
Like somebody like Lennox Lewis? He would have problems with him. He would have problems with Lennox Lewis. He would have jabbed and jabbed and jabbed him, what Fury's doing. He would have had a problem with a guy that can box, that can stand up there and not going to let you catch him with that stuff. He's going to have a problem with somebody that knows how to box. And if I'm Joshua, I'm going to have to stand and box him. And I'm not going to let him catch me with them wild shots. And I'm going to make him box me.
Well, I mean, I think that would be a great fight. And I actually think Wilder would win that fight as well. I think he's the best heavyweight in the world.
I think he is too. But I also think you have to learn and you have to keep evolving in your craft. And he needs to go and let somebody teach him some of the stuff that he's not working on. Help him with the defense and help him box more. Stay with the jab. Not sit down on shots, just trying to land a big shot.
He's 32 years old, so how much changing can he really do at this point?
But he didn't start boxing until he was 19, Paul.
He started
boxing because his daughter was sick. He didn't start boxing until he was 19.
But I feel like at this stage, I don't think he's going to... I mean, I think he... Like, to your point, I think he could get better in terms of some of his deficiencies. But I don't think he's going to get much better.
It was a great fight.
Sure.
Fury was outboxing him. Fury's winning the fight. That's the best Fury's looked in his career. And he had a 2-year layoff and fought a couple guys. And he looked terrible the fight before that. But, like I said again, he went up there with their young trainer. They went and worked with Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach was sitting there giving him advice, getting in there, showing him stuff, teaching him little things, tweaking him a little bit. And it paid off in the fight. So a lot of props to Tyson Fury getting off that deck, and he fought a heck of a fight. Can he repeat it? We don't know, but we'll see what happens. But like I said, if he takes a page from what Tyson Fury did, he went up there in Freddie Roach's gym, and I think that was a big thing to help Tyson Fury in that fight.
It obviously couldn't hurt, definitely. I mean, we'll see. I can't wait to see the rematch, but I think in a rematch, it'll look much different. We'll see. I think Wilder stops him.
I think Wilder stops him. But I think as far as for him boxing going forward in the future, he's got to work on those fundamentals. But we'll see.
Definitely. But I don't think it's going to get much better. I just don't think it's going to get much better. It's like Brett Favre, right? I mean, Brett Favre, he's a gunslinger. And at the end of the day, did he really move away from that? He's kind of stayed true to that. And I think Wilder's
the
same way.
You're correct.
We'll see. We'll see. Willie, as always, appreciate it. Merry Christmas, man. Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Be safe out there. Can't wait to do it again.
All right. We're looking at that fight. I'll see you on TV.
All right.
All right.
Take care.